lips, and I forgot my hearing aid. I forgot my eye drops. And this little bump I have on my head has to do with masks. We've been wearing masks, and some choose when to do it and not to do it. But a couple of days ago, I was in, Walgreens, and I was in and realized, I forgot my mask. I'm always forgetting. Went back to the car, opened the door, reached in to get the mask. I was wearing my Milwaukee Braves baseball cap, and it has a metal button in the middle. Ouchie, right. And so that's where it came from. And I've had enough forgetting my mask. The other thing this morning is, when they passed out the little cup for the Lord's Supper, I didn't know that there was bread in the top. I opened it up, drank the wine, and then I saw Fred come up and cover it. And I thought, they haven't passed out the bread. Fred's getting senile. Where's the bread? So, and I realized he wasn't. So somebody showed me one. Oh, see, yeah, look. So I reversed it. I drank the wine, and I hope everything's okay. it's been something else, man. Yeah. What else do I have written down here? A little small talk. So one thing is sure, masks are easy to forget, and during the past year or so, everybody's had to figure out exactly how they're going to handle it in their own lives. And the reason I mention that is because there's no biblical way of saying this is what must be done. It's not really so much an attitude of faith. This is what must be done, and this is what the church people should do. Zoom is disruptive to what we do, but Zoom has been pretty good, frankly. And I'm glad for it when I when I see the number of people who enjoy it and from far away and connect with the work at the chapel. So anyway, it's good to be back, and it's strange. And I haven't worn a tie or a jacket in over a year. And when I was getting dressed this morning, I had to tie my tie four times. The first time, I wasn't sure. I thought, well, Mark didn't know how to turn on the organ. He was looking at me. So it's weird. And it's okay. Very good. So it's nice to be here and speaking. There have been a number of messages on Hebrews, and I've been following so long because Hebrews has a flow of thoughts that all connect together. They're not isolated things. They flow together until they come up with some interesting conclusions. One of the things that should be understood is that the Jewish people who were coming to Christ had no idea what it was to live by faith. They had all fallen into this pattern of ritualism, tradition, and when they came to Christ as their Savior, they had no idea about faith, and as things got hard, as people said to them, you know, Jesus gives peace, and Jesus will meet this need, and Jesus does this, and they started having hard times, and they started being persecuted by their own people, because they were. Read the book of Acts and read some of the epistles. The Jews were taking a lot of problems also from the world around, and they were discouraged. If I'm living by faith, why doesn't my faith see me through these hard times? Why do I have to be persecuted? Why do I have to be depressed about this? And so some of them were turning back. Now, before I had mentioned a while ago about Hebrews chapter 6 and 10, that those people were going back to the tradition. It's more comfortable. They weren't going to have any problems from their friends. And basically, they were going to get back in this routine of comfort and encouragement and not having to take some abuse from the friend. And that's when the writer of Hebrews says, those who go back, it's not that they lose their salvation, but if they go back, their salvation, there's no salvation in nobody else, no other person. He's not saying that they can never return, because Jesus Christ will always take you back, even if you've fallen away and come back. But the point simply for these people was that if they went back, they are going away from the one way to be saved. If you go back from grace to law, you think you can be saved by law? You can't. And even for people who fall into sin and people who have gone through hard times, and maybe even for a while denied, you can go back. You come back to Jesus Christ and you confess your sin in you. So there is salvation always in Jesus Christ. So these people were in a difficult position. And the writer of Hebrews has talked about a number of important things. For example, in the beginning, he talked about the superiority of Jesus Christ, about prophets, angels, the law, sacrifices, the priesthood, showing that Jesus Christ is superior, complete. So he's a superior person. And then in chapter 7 and 10, when he talks about the priesthood of Jesus Christ, he is saying this priesthood of Jesus Christ is so different, so complete, that the Levitical priesthood could not do these things at all. And the Levitical priest was not capable of that. Now, what you have in chapter 11, go to chapter 11. You have a chapter of faith, right? Chapter 11, 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. See, these people who go back always thought that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph were people who were unique people, special people, that God chose them because of their special qualities. And they had no idea that the real issue in their lives was faith, advancing by faith, living by faith. So he's writing this to say, look, all of the people we hold and revere as special, what was the one characteristic about them? Faith. And he reads, and you can read in this chapter, and I'm going to do a little bit of it. You can see he talks about faith. He goes up, Abel and Enoch and Noah, and then he goes through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. By the way, those four guys. This is perplexing. 39 chapters are written about these four guys. That's a lot of chapters. Why? Well, here's the thing. God is doing something new. Follow me on this. After the flood, after the world had been destroyed, after the flood and men started settling down again, the next big issue was going to be the Tower of Babel. That comes after. And if you read, the whole thing was falling apart. Romans chapter 1, other places, and the world was falling more and more and more into sin. Question is, what is God going to do? Is he always going to be coming out and judging? There's not going to be a flood. Maybe there'll be a fire. Maybe there'll be a volcano. Maybe there'll be, who knows, from outer space. But is he going to constantly go on judging when mankind falls into a deplorable situation. Now what he's going to do is something interesting. He's going to pick out a people for his name. Now, I know the church is all that, but in the Old Testament, the same way too. I'm going to have a special separated people who are going to honor me and grow in me and follow me. I'm going to separate people from the world. I'm going to make this group of people something that I can work through and will lead up ultimately to the Messiah. So no more volcanoes destroying the world, no more floods, no more fires. Now we're going to have a people. I'm going to speak to these people. I'm going to start a group of people. And they're going to be separate people in this world. Because just not going to keep destroying the world. All right. So as these people that I mentioned in Hebrews start coming to Jesus Christ as Savior, as High Priest, as Lord, the whole thing, they're going to have to learn that there's something far more important in traditions called faith. And chapter 11 is not just a bunch of stories for kids and such. Well, here's a flannel graph. See, there you go. See, and it's not that. God, from the very beginning, honored faith. By faith, Abel. In another story. And by faith, Enoch walked with God. And by faith, Noah built an ark. I'm just going to try to explain characteristics of faith. And that's really important. As far as our growth and God using us and how faith works. We have bad, false ideas about faith in the Church of Jesus Christ. We believe sort of if I really believe, I could really believe it. And God's going to give it to me. Nah. See, when you read these people, you're going to find important names. But when you look at the last part of chapter 11, you're going to find a whole list of people. Chapter 32, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, Samson and the prophet, David. And then he goes on through. And he doesn't name other people, but he names situations. And you can go back and find in the Old Testament some of these situations. They were tortured, not accepting deliverance. And others were a quiet of mocking, verse 6 and scourge. So the writer of Hebrews is going to do a very important thing. He's going to say, this is how faith works. Now, the thing that's important about this is when he writes this, he's not focusing on what they did. Get this. Our world needs it. And not focusing on what they did, they're focusing on how they did it. There's a big difference. This guy's got faith. Oh, boy. Yeah, he's starting that megachurch. Eh? Oh, whoa. We're always looking for what they did. That's why when you read in Genesis, as we are on Wednesday night, you see these guys, especially the big four, I call them in Genesis. These guys, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. And we keep saying, oh boy, they weren't perfect. Oh boy, they sure had problems. Oh boy, you know, they had to, oh boy. And we almost act like, well, we got to apologize for these guys. They're too human. See? So we're like, well, I don't understand that, but well, it says here they didn't. They were really a bunch of goof-offs, some of these guys were, weren't they? They were, man. So we would say that can't have anything to do with faith. It does. Here's the point. And this is the one thing I would prefer if you didn't forget. It's not what they did, it's how they did it. There are characteristics of faith in this chapter, and we in the Church of Jesus Christ need it as well. Because of the way the church thinks about faith and thinks about success, thinks about what God's doing. And it affects you when you're on the mission field. You're on the mission field and you're working up there in the boonies and the Andes Mountains, going to Malaga and all these little towns, and you're talking and passing out tracks, and you're just trying to talk to people. And somebody in the city says, hey, you've been going up there pretty long time. Yeah, we've been going for a year. How many believers are there? A few. No, how many believers you have? Right now we have 10. 10? Well, you guys ought to start doing this. Well, we have more than 10 now, of course. And I'm proud to say in Book of the Money there were 400. And they've hived off. But this is the way people thought. So you're driving back on the dirt road from Malaga, and instead of praising the Lord for what he's done. It's no good. So it's important to look at this. All believers are called to live by faith. And there is going to be a number of topics here. So chapter 11, verse 1, is not a definition of faith. It's a description of faith in action. More than a definition. It's a description of faith in action. A description of what faith does and how it works in people whom God has asked to do things. And if you can get that, I think it's important. And it's a hard one to get sometimes, all right? So, faith, look at verse 6. For without faith is impossible to please. For he who comes to God must believe he is, that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. They must believe that he is, and he's leading, and that he will reward me. But what do you expect the rewards? What did Abraham do? It says later in this chapter, they lived in tents. Did you see Abraham explain a lot? See the seal? Barren. Hey, buddy, after wearing for 3 years, it's going to be lush green. And over there, it's going to be a set of condors for a retired Christian. But more than that, you see that lake? Over there is going to be the clubhouse. See? And it's going to be the clubhouse. And when you're in the morning, you can just come and play 18 holes. And when you finish, you call up the old lady and say, hey, I'll meet you at the clubhouse for lunch. Today's lunch is a nice day. You're going to love it. No, I'm being a smart aleck, I know. It says in Hebrews 11, when Abraham, these people got there, they lived in tents. And one thing you must read as you read this, because it's really important. It says in this chapter, let me find it. Well, I'll find it in a minute, because all these lived by faith, and they did not receive the promise. You know that? They didn't receive the promise. So you have a problem. They obeyed, they went forward, they did intense, they were a bunch of goof-offs sometimes, and they all died without receiving the promise. But there's a reward that God knows about living by faith. See? So they receive a reward. The blessings being part of it. Not necessarily being the big chief of it, but part of it. And God can speak to us and show us along the way what to do. And when Richard Yarrell and I had this team in California, we had classes every day. And then we went out in the afternoon. We had classes every morning. And the class that he and I had were always answering questions about faith. And you'd be surprised the questions kids ask. Well, how did you know you should be missionary? And when did this, and how did God speak to you? And how did this work? They were filled with questions. I hope in our missionary conferences, we will give room to people who want to give testimonies about how God called them and worked in their lives. Because our kids asked piles of questions. They were interested, but perplexed. And so it's important. Anyway, so without faith, there's just no reward. Now, faith, let me say this. Faith is not blind optimism. I'm going to go. God wants me to go. I'm going out there. Here I have language ability, and here I have this ability. I'm going. Well, that's nice if you have that, and God obviously may use it. But the point I'm getting at is not blind optimism. But use these methods, it will happen. Or it's not manufactured hopes or feelings. No, he says, I know. Then I'm going to do that because he said that that's too hard and that's too small. So what you have is sort of this. And neither is it just intellectual assent to doctrine. And it's not believing in spite of evidence. So here's the thing. God speaks to us. Now, let's go in this and take a look at it, because I thought I was going to run out of time. If you want to stay till 1 o'clock, maybe we can go get some sandwiches. Faith, I said, is not what they did. It is not a list of great people. They're ordinary people, used by God. If you go back to begin with, Abraham was, where he came from, and the things going on, you wonder what kind of person he most likely was. He was most likely had some belief in God, but there were a lot of problems, a lot of sin. So they were ordinary people who used their faith to accomplish what God wanted. Now, notice I didn't say big things. What God wanted. And as I said, the focus is on what they did, but how they did it. Now, here's a little description. This isn't a definition of faith, but it's a little description. Right? Now, faith is evidence of a reality of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When I was a young believer, really young, and John Fiske was helping me, and I was really hungry to grow. John would say something, well, remember, we walk by faith, not by sight. Yeah, but what does that mean? How do I do that? I see everything. See? And he was helping me. Here's 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. These people, and let's say some more here. Verse 13, all these died in faith, not even received the promise. Wow. They never got to play that golf course. Okay. Not receiving the promise, but having seen them afar off and confessed they were strangers and pilgrims in the world. Faith has to give us a decent and a proper attitude toward the world we live in. It must. So that verse simply says that they confessed they were strangers and pilgrims in the world. But God promised them, but they all died without getting the promise, but they knew that God was doing something with them for a greater purpose. And so this is important. So it's a description of faith does. Right? chapter, there's 11 ones. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith itself proves that what is unseen is real. What is unseen is real. The world looks around it and they see things. This says what is unseen is real. We see God doing something. We see God saved. We see the gospel going on. And God will bring it to pass. So, all right. And then it's the conviction, hope for, the evidence or the conviction of things not seen. It's proof. Faith proves that what is unseen is real. Jesus is going to come again. God's building the church. You're watching the boonies of Columbia, and there's a wheat group there, and a wheat group there, and a wheat group there. And you're looking at this, and you remind, he's building a church. He didn't say each one of those is going to be a mega church. He's adding people to the body of Christ. And so he's building his church. All right. So in the Old Testament, people received God's approval. So what was is true faith is confident obedience in what God said. I know what he's saying is right. It's confidence. These people are losing their confidence. We're suffering so much, and it's so hard. And we're losing things and friends and things. So that in spite of circumstances, you obey the word of God. It's obedient in God's word in spite of circumstances and consequences. Some of these people were suffering. Some little Campesino Malaga. I mean, these people were. Hillary would call them deplorable. Right. They're deplorable people. Poor. And they come to know Jesus Christ, and there's some strength about them that begins to appear. One guy said to me, a little accomplishment, he said, for 38 years I've been in the church, and no one ever told me about this. This is really wonderful. And so they stopped with it. But all they could see is trouble people wanted to get. So the writer makes clear certain things about faith, right? God created the world. It enables us to understand what God does. Somebody says, let's discuss Genesis 1. Can you tell me, Dr. John, about this? No, I can't. I told my high school friend, no, I can't. I'm not even going to try because I'm probably going to dig a hole for myself. God did it, and I really believe that. That beyond this is a powerful all-knowing being. Anyway, so he created the world out of nothing. I can understand that. You believe that. Okay. All right, so a little bit more about chapter 11. In each instant in chapter 11, you'll find the same elements of faith. Whether it's Jephthah, that guy really perplexes us. He's the guy who was always seemed to make a poor decision and might have sacrificed his daughter to the death or sacrificed her to a single life, whatever. And he's on the list of faith. And scratch, I have, whoa, he's on the list of faith. So here are the things that are the same, that are synonymous. One, God speaks through his word. How did he talk to Jacob? Well, I think that was more than just some feeling. No, God talked. And Abraham, God spoke to him. Go. No. So God speaks to his word. And the inner self stirred by it. The inner self is stirred by it. In other words, something is taking place in our lives, and we begin to realize that it's having a deep effect on us. I wanted to be, I've said many times, a radio announcer, accepted a communication school in Minneapolis, all ready to go to learn how to be a hotshot disc jockey. And after I became a Christian, the first thing I thought about, I want to know the word of God. So I called the school and said, I can't make it in January when I could come in. I just need a little bit more time to study Bible. He said, well, we have a list of people coming in, and if you don't, we can't take it. They only took 50 people a semester. And so, well, I want to know the word of God. Well, what happened was, it's simple. After I started going to Bible school, I never thought about the radio announcer thing. I never regret it. It never hit me that you might be putting aside a great time of life. Money. Okay. The next thing you know, I've got this thing. I want to see if I can throw the water. Anyway, the inner self is stirred. The other thing, they obey God. Moses, Abraham, leave. And go up and I'll lead you to it. Now we know the story. He got up and up there in Haran and hung around for a while. And we always have a chapter about Abraham's disobedience and this. But he started going. But it says, not knowing where he was going. God didn't say, I'm going to take this patch of land. I'll tell you when you get there. It's one of the things about faith. I'll show you. I'll tell you. I'll make it clear. And so, then God spoke his word. The inner self was stirred in different ways. They obeyed God, and it says he bore witness about them. A good testimony. That's what it says here in chapter 1, evidence of things not seen. He bore witness, and then he confirmed it. What it simply means comes from the idea of commendation. And it simply means when they did this, God confirmed it by showing this is real. This guy means business. God blessed it. Confirmed it. But keep remembering all these people did not receive the promise. Wow. And so you go off, you take that step. I'm not just talking about mission. You take that step, okay? A, he had worshiping faith. The Bible talks about it. Somehow Abel knew he offered a better sacrifice than his brother. Enoch. Says in Genesis 5:22, in a walk with God. I don't have any idea what that. What did Enoch accomplish? He walked with God and he was taken. He didn't die. Wow. But it's seen as an act of faith. So people in this epistle were demoralized and discouraged. And they were part of tradition. And now they're actually setting aside these traditions that have been working for centuries. And it's got to rattle you if things start going wrong. So what do they do that for? He said he loved me, he's going to care for me. When I came home, there were farmers being saved up in Luxembourg. And I helped, I did the baptism couple. By the way, two of them are elders. The point is, I did these and they were afraid. I don't want to be baptized now. Or the husband was baptized and went, I don't want to be baptized now because it'll break my parents' heart, the strong Catholic. It's going to break their hearts. Well, I didn't come out and say, well, you better be baptized. Whoa. Let the Lord do it. And these people were afraid. Uncle, aunt, cousins, close family. So they finally did it. And the families understood it was real. And while a lot of the families aren't saved, there's a warmth about it. Mark and Mary mean business. Could have started showing some respect. Verse 6. Right. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe he is, that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek. Faith means we can't see the outcome, but we know that God works. He's the rewarder of those that diligently seek. But we can't see it. The mission I was with sent me to Panama. And then right after I was in Panama a while, they said, Columbia open, you and Joe get over to Columbia. Okay. Then we get to Columbia, then you get down to the Indies. That's what I trained for. I found out that my hearing was going to make it almost impossible for me to learn multiple languages. Okay. So up in the city I go. What have you got me to do? Well, we only work with the Indies. Well, we'll try to find some. Fine. Say, all right. And then there's some tension about it. And the next thing you know, while that's going on, I start going to a little assembly. Avenida 64, downtown Bogota. And there's Colin Crawford, Peter Neville, and Pat Long and Carl Lane. Studying this first assembly in Bogota. Well, I like this. I'm learning, talking, and I'm still going down, trying to do things. But everybody, no rest about what we're going to do with John. Shoot them, that would be better. Push them on somewhere, and then you're done. The point is, I'm learning, and I'm listening, and I'm seeing why can't I stay and work with Colombian nationals. Well, you can't. We don't work with them. Right? But I don't want to go home. I want to be here. It's a long story through teaching English to make money and doing things. And my heart, I start traveling, my heart back up there, and there's people in the mountains. I could do that. And these people in this little village, but it took a while. And then I bump into Dick Yarrow. He comes from New Zealand, in Bogota, and he's down there working. And he said to me one day, you know, things are going well here in Bogota, but I always think about those people back there. See, me too. Bill King, another one, said, yeah. So we took trips. I mean, the whole thing takes time. That's how God often works. Not saying all the time, but there are people who wrote me letters and say, you're not doing anything, you should come home. Taking a lot of money to keep you. Being stubborn the way I'm stubborn, I said, no. I'm going to wait out and see what happens. My point simply is, in my life, there was something like that. And after a while, Dick and I and Bill King teamed up. We started there, and then we're being used in a small town. We're watching people come to know Jesus Christ, nothing big and fancy, but people who are really sold on, and you're saying, I got it, I see it. So, all right, so anyway, faith means you can't see the outcome. We're not sure what lies ahead, all right? We're not sure what lies ahead, but we're convinced, and this is important, of the reality of God. We are sure that God said, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who owns the future. Whether it's here in America, is God wanting to do things with you? One missionary, he studied to be a doctor, got out of medical school, then he wasn't sure he wanted to be a doctor. This is when he's brilliant. Next thing you know, he ends up being a research scientist at Firestone, helping design the radio tower. And he's doing well, and he's got some apartments for retirement, and he's an elder. One day he's reading CMML. He'd been reading CMML all the time, but something he's reading Columbia. I wonder what goes on in Columbia. His wife told him a couple weeks ago, I was struck by it. To make a long story short, he starts selling his apartment building. Now he bought them for retirement. And his friend said, why are you selling those? He said, I want to be free if God tells me to go. I don't want things holding me back. Oh yeah, but whoa, that's quite a nice bit of whopper, man, I'm gonna have to. I want some freedom in my soul. But it was still another year and a half. I'm gonna take a trip to Columbia. That's how our offer works. And what he's saying, I don't be bogged down. There's nothing wrong with owning apartment for retirement. I don't see anything morally wrong or spiritually wrong. But if God continues to impress Columbia on my heart, I want to be able to say there's nothing that holds me back. Wow. And this guy did a good work. So I can't see the outcome, but I can see what God has done. So it's time for me to quit. I've only got 6 pages left. And I write too much because I don't remember it. That's why I write so lengthy notes. I tend to get nervous now. I'm an old codger, over 80. So it's really important. When you see the call of Abraham, one of the key words is waiting. I'm just going to have to stop waiting. Abraham's called, travel, he waits. He goes to Egypt. I mean, to King. Builds an altar of worship in Bethlehem. Famine comes, off he goes. God says, I'm going to give you a son through Sarah. Waiting. Put that down on one of the things about walking by faith. God may make you wait. And it's characteristic of all these people. Joseph. We feel sorry for that young thing. Waiting. Well, I must stand. And God accomplishes, but in Hebrews 10:11, and I'll finish, says this. For he waited for a city which his foundation, whose maker is God. But it says he didn't live in the city. He lived in the text. Was his faith worthless? He's one of the people of faith. So this is just some things about faith. We have a tendency in America to have something a little skewed. For example, I don't want to, real careful, then I can run off the back door. One of the things that among us here is that, well, he walked by faith. He's a missionary by faith. What do you mean? Well, he doesn't ask anybody for support. Now, I want to be careful. That's such a small part of living by faith. It's incredible. It's incredible. I taught English in Bogota because I didn't have any support at that time. And some suggested I go home because God wasn't supplying. I was ready to kick them out my door. Out. See. All right, Father, thank you for these people. Living by faith. Seeing magnificent things are hearing your voice and knowing that you're working. They're not looking at the world or the barrenness of the land. They're not looking at the fact that they're still in the tents. They believe you're doing something for all eternity, and that they're part. And we learn about faith, Father, by by understanding when you talk to us, when you read our lives through Scripture, that it takes patience. And we wait and we look and we don't become discouraged. We wish to see what you're doing. Nor do we measure it, Father, by what other people do. Free us from the curse of measuring our faith according to the faith of others. Help us to love you, walk with you, I pray in Jesus' name.